Brilliant. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, it's great to be here today speaking to you all. It has almost been a year, Bill. I've obviously had a big impression on you. And it has been absolutely fantastic. Now, I have definitely learnt a lot. I didn't grow up in a traditional church. So there's definitely some questions I've had to ask, a lot of things I've had to learn. Some examples would be in a staff meeting when I had to ask, what is harvest? Wasn't really sure. Knew it was something to do with food, but wasn't 100% sure. Another time, I have loved being able to see the baby baptisms and dedications happening, and love that us as a congregation get to be part of that and join in. And there was one morning where David asked, you know, will you bring this child up in knowing God? And I stated loudly, I will, not realizing this was the parents' part. I got a wee bit too enthusiastic. And most recently, actually, I really learnt the true meaning of Advent. Of course, I knew it was more than just opening the wee door to get a bit of chocolate, okay? My wee son, he's 1.5, we got him an Advent calendar this year. Biggest mistake. He won't eat his breakfast. All he does is go, chocolate. Was a bad idea, but I knew Advent was more than that. But really, I thought it was just about celebrating the birth of Jesus. I didn't realize there was so much more to it. Advent actually means coming. And throughout the years, the use of Advent has changed from, firstly, in the 4th and 5th century. It was a preparation for baptism of new Christians and celebrating Jesus' coming into their life. At January, at the Feast of Epiphany, which is the celebration of God's incarnation. And then in the 6th century, it was the second coming of Christ in the clouds as the judge of the world. And then in the Middle Ages, Advent became more linked to Christ's first coming as a baby. And now for us, Advent symbolizes the church in the last days as God's people wait for the return of Christ. Similarly to the Old Testament, when people looked back on what God had done in their life, but asking God to come and work again. And for us, it is that of remembering what Jesus has done, remembering the first coming, but also looking forward to the second coming of Jesus with that hope that he is coming again. So remembering that Jesus came as a baby, but also anticipating his return. With this in mind, let's read our passage for today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Zephaniah 3:14. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout. O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart. O daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in, at that time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. So Zephaniah was a minor prophet in Judah during King Josiah's reign, who became king just at the age of 8. Josiah sought after the Lord as he led differently to his father and his grandfather. And some theologians would say, actually, that Zephaniah had an influence on Josiah and was actually able to teach him to follow God and how to do that. So he was a man of great influence, and he used this position to share about God. The message in this passage, and actually across Zephaniah, is that God has forgiven us. God is with us. Do not be afraid. God will come again to gather and save his people. And God rejoices over us. This passage is a prophecy that Jesus will come to the world and for us again return to the world. He will judge the world, but also he will save his people. A time is coming where there will be no more suffering, no more pain, and we will be restored. This prophecy in Zephaniah gives us hope and reminds us to anticipate the second coming of Jesus. Prophecy is centered on restoring confidence, trust, and faith. The passage definitely does that. No matter what we have faced, what we are facing, or what we will face, we can hold on to the words in this passage that say, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth." What hope we have. We can have huge confidence in God and trust in him, knowing that he will return, knowing that he is coming again, that there will be a day of no more pain, no more suffering. But actually, these words aren't just for us that know God. I always find it really interesting when we're maybe chatting about the second coming or when we will go to heaven, or the kingdom of heaven will come to us. And people sometimes say, "Oh, I hope it happens soon. I can't wait for that to happen." And in my mind, I'm kind of thinking, hold on a minute. There's still a lot of people that don't know God. God, you better wait. Actually, don't come yet. There are so many more people that need to know you before you come back. And this prophecy is a reminder, and actually it should bring us to urgency, that we have this hope, but actually there's so many more people that need this hope as well. It's not just for us to keep for ourselves. Actually, we need to share this with everyone. And prophecies are actually for everyone as well. They build people's faith as it reveals God's nature. God spoke to his people through prophets in the Old Testament. We see that in Zephaniah and the different prophets that we've been looking at over the past few weeks. And in the New Testament, he tells us that he will continue to speak through us to his people. In Acts 2:17, it says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." It's always very hard to find that glass. Zephaniah gives the people hope when he shares what God has said to him. We too need to share this hope. We too need to share what God is saying to us. We can be a prophetic statement of what the kingdom of heaven is. We'll read that again from Graham Cook. We can be a prophetic statement of what the kingdom of heaven is. He also says prophetic ministry is about drawing out of people what God has already put in them. It is to build up, to lift people up, promote growth in Christian character, and bring comfort. During the summer, as a youth worker, I was part of the Great Escape Camp that we've been doing for 9 years now, and it was an absolutely fantastic experience. We had a brilliant summer, and the Great Escape Camp kind of finished it off. We went to Sermanis for a day, we went to New Wine, Sligo, took some young people along to that, and did different things throughout the summer. And for me, my prayer, and we shared this with the team, was that young people would experience the living God, that they would feel the presence of God, that they would know he is real. And I remember specifically we had many times throughout the summer where God was sharing with leaders and the leaders were sharing words of encouragement over the young people. Then we had times when God was giving pictures and words, the same pictures and words, to both young people and to the staff and to the leaders. And then at Great Escape, at the camp, we had a real mixture of young people who have grown up in church and in church family. We had young people who just became Christian around Easter time last year. And then we had some young people who were completely brand new, had never really experienced God or church. And one of the young boys, I think he's about 12 or 13, came to me and said, "I have a word for everyone. God's speaking to me." It's like, this is amazing. The whole week we've been encouraging them to come and share words, encouraging the leaders to share words. We've been giving the leaders like pictures, and they had to like pray over it, find out what it was about, ask God to speak to them and share it with the young people. And then this young teenager comes and says, "I have something to share." So we give him the mic in the morning, and as he started to speak, I can't even remember what he said, to be honest, but what I do remember was the 17-year-old young people in shock that they had never really, hadn't experienced God or church that much, but for them, seeing someone so young, but having so much confidence and boldness in who God is, stepping forth and sharing what God was saying to them, I think it just made it so real to them. And actually, we live in this show-and-tell world where we can talk to people all day about God. But what I find is if they don't actually meet God, if they don't experience God, it maybe doesn't seem real. And actually, people are drawn to the supernatural image of God. It's when they experience him that makes the difference. And yes, then we need to disciple well and journey with people. But actually, people need to experience him and they need to hear his word. We are made in the image of God, as we all know. And God has a prophetic nature in his DNA. That's also in our DNA. God calls us to be a prophetic voice to this world. God entered into the life of the world. He entered as human flesh. He came to earth as a baby to show that he wants relationship with us. In John 1:14, the Message version, I love this passage. I shared it a few weeks ago in youth as well. It says, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." I love that. He moved into the neighborhood. He was right there, our next door neighbor. When he came to earth, he came to show he was deeply invested in the life of the world. He wants to speak. He wants to speak to his people. And when we choose to follow God, we take on this mission statement that we find in Matthew 28:19-20. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am always with you to the end of the age." God wants to meet with us. He wants us to come alive in his presence and then bring life to every environment, spilling contagious hope into hurting humanity. We have been called to go and share the good news, just as Zephaniah did, just as he shared with the people of his time. We are called to share that hope of God. Recently, I've just joined a life group this year, which is really fantastic. And we've just started reading this book. It's called Scattered Servants by Alan Scott, and it's Alan Scott worked in Causeway Coast Vineyard, and he's sharing some stories basically in this book of how the people part of that church have been doing exactly this. And I want to share something with you from it because it really challenged me. Let me introduce you to a scattered servant named Ben. He was visiting a family in our church when he noticed a group of young men drinking beer. He sensed the Holy Spirit prompt him to talk to them. Locking eyes with the guy who appeared to be the leader of this bunch, Ben declared, "You're drinking because you split from your girlfriend 2 days ago. Is that correct?" Could you imagine? The man's eyes widened suddenly and he nodded in assent. "Jesus sent me with a message for you," Ben said. "He told me that you're just like me. You gave up rugby a few months ago due to an ACL injury, and you've been grieving because you can't play anymore." Then Ben lifted his trouser leg to reveal the surgical scar from his own ACL damage. By now, the young man and his friends were in shock. "You're also like me," Ben continued, "because your dad is a minister and my dad's a minister. Is that right?" The man nodded, his mouth hanging open. "I would like to pray with you," Ben said, and he did. "I'll tell you about another scattered servant named Nick. He was out shopping with his wife when he sensed God prompt him to approach two young women. Unsure of how to start a conversation, Nick waited for God to reveal himself. Then he said to one of the women, 'I think you have a tattoo in your arm.' The lady laughed. After all, it's not uncommon for people to have tattoos in their arms. And Nick's pronouncement hardly represented a spectacular insight. Undaunted, Nick continued, 'Your tattoo is a name. It's the name of your daughter. You lost her.' Unable to retain her composure any longer, the woman began weeping and soon poured out her story of loss. After talking with Nick for a long while, she opened her life to Christ." Isn't that amazing? That God used these random people just in Causeway Coast Vineyard, not very far away from us. God was speaking through them and was changing people's lives. Those people experienced the living God. They experienced the hope. God still speaks through his people, and he wants to speak through us. And I love in that book when he writes about how, I think it was Nick, waited to hear from the Lord. He was intentional in asking God to speak through him. Are we open to hearing what God wants to say through us? Are we intentional in asking God to speak to us, through us, to bring hope to a broken world and to show people the nature of God and the kingdom of heaven? While reading this book, I've been really challenged to be intentional about asking God to speak through me, to try and create opportunities where I can actually speak God's love and hope over people. And I'm not going to lie, it's been difficult. Okay, it's been hard, and there's been times when, yes, I've shared with people who are Christians and prayed for them, but I think it's a very different mindset that we actually are prophesying and sharing words of hope over people who don't yet know God and introducing them to the presence of God. So I have been taking baby steps, and I've been doing this when I've been working with the young people, and asking God, what are you saying? And I've had some opportunities to share with young people, to pray with them, and just share what God is saying. And even a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I was with a group of girls, and we just decided in our small group time, let's just stop and let's just ask God to speak to us and see what he has to say. And God spoke to the young people. And the kids as well. He shared words and pictures with them that they used to encourage the people around them. And I think that is just so vital and so key to our lives as Christians. But I'm still challenging myself to speak to that stranger in Tesco's or that person as I walk down the road. But actually, this is a challenge for all of us. Zephaniah prophesied of hope and the second coming of Christ before the first coming even came, before that had even happened. We too must prophesy this hope because we can stand firm in the knowledge that Jesus has came, but also that he is coming back and he will bring the ultimate hope, healing, and joy to a broken world and a broken people. Jesus is the name that makes darkness tremble. Jesus is the name that silences fear. Jesus is the name that brings life. And Jesus is the name that brings hope. Again, in this book, Alan Scott puts it, our role is to leave the building in pursuit of the one who lives among the low and the contrite, which means those who feel guilty, the humble and the despised, the needy and the thirsty. Our role is to move when he moves. Our role is to move when he moves. Zephaniah prophesied hope over the people, those who knew God and those who didn't know God. And for us today, that is our challenge. And I encourage you to learn by example from the prophets that foretold Jesus and think, how can I reveal God's nature? How can I reveal the nature of God to this world and speak God's word of hope and life to the people around us? That he is returning, that there will be a day of no more suffering, no more pain, and in fact, he will rejoice over you. So can I encourage you this week, even today, it's not too late to invite people tonight to hear that message of hope, to experience God. I haven't been to a carol service before, or the carols by candlelight, as I haven't been here for Christmas before, but I am so excited and I'm so expectant that when people are here, that they will meet the living God. They will experience God. They will meet him in a brand new way, and it will be one of those jaw-dropping moments where they realize, oh my goodness, God is real. I need to know him. So I encourage you to invite people tonight and this week, ask God, God, speak through me. Speak through me to my work colleagues, to my family. And I think especially at this time of year, people are a bit more open to God, because after all, they're celebrating his birth at Christmas. So this is a great opportunity over the next few weeks to ask God to speak through us when we're with family at Christmas and celebrating at work as well. Let's just pray.